and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Friday, December 23rd, 2016. In Zika, there's still been a lot in Texas. There's been another case down there in Brownsville. There's been a outbreak in cats of avian flu of H7N2. There was a human case. Luckily, most of them have been mild, but there may be a bigger problem than that that Dr. Nyman will elaborate and allude to on that there's probably a bigger problem that's being reported. And also we'll talk about the assortment. There's been an H5N5 that's been found in Montenegro and in the Netherlands, although they may be different, but Dr. Nyman will touch more on that. So Dr. Nyman, welcome back, and the floor is yours.
Okay, it's good to be back, Ryan. As you mentioned, there's been quite a bit of activity. It's really too much going on to really cover in one session, so I'm just going to headline a couple of the events and then go into more detail on the H5N8 developments, including a very high rate of reassortment coupled with a lack of sequences. Actually, each of these reports is somewhat shaded by the quality or quantity of the data. One of the updates is on the Zika front is, as you mentioned, there's another local transmission in Brownsville, Texas. That brings the total number to 6. This 6th case appears to be in a different area of Brownsville, and survey was planned for neighbors of this case. If you recall, the testing is in Brownsville is a little bit different than in Florida, in Miami. In Brownsville, they didn't go to neighbors and collect samples. Instead, they went to neighbors and educated them, gave them literature, and said if they develop symptoms to call. That led to the identification of 4 neighbors that were positive. All 4 were symptomatic, and as I mentioned previously, since only about 1 in 5 Zika cases is symptomatic, they got 4 that were symptomatic and called and were positive, suggests that the local transmission is significant in Brownsville, probably 4 or 5 times what has been reported. And the reporting is limited by A, people being symptomatic and calling to get samples collected. And B, by the actual test, it's a PCR test of urine, which would reliable positives dependent upon the person being infected within 2 weeks of sample collection. So those infected earlier would test negative even though they had been infected. And so the number of cases is probably quite a bit higher than reported. And the same thing will happen on this latest series, where this is in another area of Brownsville, and the analysis or the testing / surveillance is following the same format. So they're delivering education materials. I'm not sure what they did the first time, but apparently they asked for people that were either symptomatic or pregnant and to submit samples. So I'm not sure if they did the pregnancy request last time. They did not get any positive pregnant cases. So whether that was tested last time isn't clear. It's also not clear, how many people were involved. I think the first time it only went about within 4 blocks of the initial case. So it's a fairly small area. And even with those limitations, the test is only known to detect recent infections and a requirement that those tested were asymptomatic and B, requested the test, still came up with 4 additional positives. So Brownsville still an issue. There are still cases in Florida. Basically, they've gone 45 days in the known areas, but there still are local cases in the Miami area. And again, it's a kind of game of battleship that you really, apparently before they declare active transmission, they require 5 positives, which means it's got to be quite a bit of activity. So normally all you would require is 2 to identify the area. If you had 2 people within the same square mile, that would be active transmission. So that's about it on the, well, there's a couple other things on the Zika front. There's a paper that came out in PLLS that suggested that Zika microcephaly in travelers in the U.S. May have happened as early as 2009. So the Zika causing microcephaly is not something that just started in Brazil. You know, it's happened before, just hasn't been monitored very well. And that includes travelers to the United States. I think there was another baby that was born with microcephaly. I think it was Rhode Island. I'm not sure exactly where it was. But the number of cases with microcephaly is expected to significantly rise in 2017, largely due to women that were infected 6 to 9 months ago that would have been affected in their first trimester but would not be giving birth until the upcoming months, because most of the activity happened well into 2016. So the babies won't be born until 2017. Moving on to the cat story, the cat story involves several firsts. The significance of the first is still related to testing. Outbreak was initially reported in a Manhattan cat shelter. There were 45 cats that were either symptomatic or lab confirmed to have H7N2. The H7N2 is low path, causes fairly mild symptoms in cats. The numbers from the New York shelters went from 45 to over 100 cats. They're in 3 different shelters. Actually started a map on that, which has 3 shelters in New York. The H7N2 in cats is the first of, sounds like it was discovered serendipitously. One of the cats had flu-like symptoms. They thought that maybe the cat had an H3N2 infection, which has been reported in cats in Asia. They sent out for testing. They got the N2 right, but it ended up being H7N2. H7N2 in cats has never been reported previously. One of the veterinarians who was doing a lot of the swabbing on the cats actually also became infected, which would be the first example of a first known example of human infection due to exposure to cats. So that'd be the first cat to human transmission. That person was not hospitalized and did recover. These situations kind of highlight the limitations of this analysis, and that is that the cats have mild symptoms, the human had mild symptoms. Normally the human would have never been tested because he or she didn't go to the hospital, had mild symptoms. If anything, they would have been thought to have had a mild flu and probably never been tested. And it's the same thing with the cats. Had not this technician been interested to see if this cat had flu-like symptoms. They wouldn't have tested. It's very rare for cats to be tested for influenza. So in both of these cases, there's limited testing. One piece of data that suggests this may not be a new thing in cats is the fact that the sequence of the H7N2, as indicated in a press release from Pennsylvania, I'll look at the Pennsylvania in a second, but they noted that the sequence was virtually identical to H7N2 sequences associated with an outbreak in Pennsylvania and Virginia back in 2002. So the virus seems to have been around either in cats or poultry for some time. The outbreak in Pennsylvania and Virginia was also associated with an outbreak in New York. The New York sequences are also very close. And New York outbreaks, at least on the basis of how many sequences have been generated, was much, much larger than either Virginia or Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has come into play because they did receive cats from the New York shelter. Their press release cites approximately 12 cats at three different locations. Apparently, in addition to being at those locations, some of the cats were at a large adoption show in Philadelphia. Those were said to be asymptomatic. Again, it's an issue of cats are only symptomatic for a couple of days. The diagnosis of those cats is dependent upon reports from their owners, and so how adept they are at recognizing the flu-like symptoms and reporting that accurately is a question mark. Apparently, the cats in New York went to multiple locations. Quite a few of them went to shelters in New Jersey. There were cats, as I mentioned, shipped to Pennsylvania. There was a limited number of cats shipped to either Maine or Connecticut. And so the potential is quite large, although it sounds like the only confirmation at these other locations other than Pennsylvania would be some additional shelters outside of the New York area, in New York, that apparently have tested positive and will be described in press releases coming out next week. So the H7N2 may be quite a bit larger than reported, but grossly underreported in this outbreak and potentially prior outbreaks due to the fact that the majority of the cats and associated people would develop fairly mild symptoms and would be extremely unlikely to be tested under normal circumstances, and therefore that virus could spread under the radar. There are a couple different labs that are working on getting full sequences and hopefully releasing those, and it'll be interesting to see if there are any changes in the sequence that would suggest that the H7N2, which is usually identified in poultry or wild birds, does in fact have some adaptations for mammals and therefore may be persisting in cats, but go undetected because the symptoms are mild. So we'll have more updates on the cat situation as well as the Zika situation. I wanted to focus more on the H5N8, which is getting larger by the day. That outbreak, most of the cases are being reported in Europe, but it is also moved into the Middle East, where there's been quite a few cases in Israel, Africa, where there have been cases in Egypt, Tunisia, and most recently in Nigeria. So the pattern of spread is very similar to that seen in the 2005-2006 outbreak. And as it turns out, it has even more in common with that outbreak because recently sequences were released at GSAD, which are H5N8 sequences, which came from the famous or infamous Qinghai Lake in China. China did not file an OIE report on this outbreak, which based on collection dates would have happened in May of 2016. I think there were 56 sequences, full sets of sequences, that were deposited at GSAD shortly thereafter in July of 2016, but not released to the public until the last couple of weeks or so. The number of birds may be about half of that, because it looks like most of the sequences were two different collections from the same bird. One that was -LU, which presumably would be from the lung. Others would be -B, which was probably bronchial. And so in most of these cases, there were two collections. But even if you take the number of sequences and divide it in half, the number of birds that were tested or were sequenced would have been higher than the total for 2005, where two different labs were competing with each other, actually published papers back-to-back in Nature and Science. Describing the Qinghai strain, which was clade 2.2, the strain that was there this year is the famous or, again, infamous Fujian strain. It was initially identified in Fujian province in China in 2005. That was originally designated clade 2.3. As it evolves, it gets longer and longer numbers with different versions. So now it's 2.3.4.4. And that lineage subclade has been around for a while. That was the same subclade that led to the outbreaks in 2014, both in Europe as well as closely related sequences in Japan. But another lineage, which is still 2.3.4.4, caused the massive outbreak in Taiwan, as well as the outbreaks in North America, in the United States and Canada. Both in Taiwan and the U.S. and Canada saw a significant amount of reassortment and generating new serotypes. In Japan, it was H5N8 as well as H5N2 and H5N3. In North America, there was H5N8 as well as H5N2 and H5N1. In all of these cases where the serotype changed and they picked up they replaced the N8 with either 2 or 3 in Taiwan or 1 or 2 in North America, the ends were from low-path local wild birds, and they were associated with several additional internal genes. And so there was a fair amount of reassortment in all of these various serotypes, both in Taiwan and North America in 2014/15. And the same thing appears to be happening now in Europe and South Asia, actually, except that apparently at a significantly higher rate. The number of serotypes, is, as Ryan had mentioned in the introduction, is still at 2. There's the original H5N8 as well as the H5N5. Sequences from H5N5 have not been released yet, but the isolate in the Netherlands was said to have the same H5 as H5N8. based upon sequencing data, and therefore, it would be a reassortment. It seems likely that the Montenegro H5N5 will also involve the Fujian clade 2.3.4.4H5. Whether the N5 will be the same or not is a little bit up in the air. It's up in the air because of the rather dramatic level of reassortment. The full extent of the reassortment is, again, limited by the number of full sequences that have been released. The number of such sequences have been extremely limited. Many of these countries that are fully capable of generating full sequences have not released them. They've only released the H and the N. The widespread nature of the outbreaks in Europe or the Middle East or Africa or South Asia frequently involves farms, including backyard farms, although the wild bird numbers are through the roof, essentially. They're much higher than have been reported previously as far as the 2005-2006 outbreak is concerned. But when they happen in these locations where there are multiple birds that they end up culling, generating a full sequence is pretty straightforward because you've got a lot of infected animals at one place, and you can kind of pick and choose the ones that you're going to test and isolate virus or have high concentrations of virus in tissues to generate a full sequence. So the wild birds, frequently the ones identified have died, and they decomposed to some degree, and the decomposition affects the integrity of the virus and the ability to get full sequences, whereas the poultry, animals can be selected that are still alive but very, very sick. And those animals are likely to have high viral loads and can be autopsied in order to choose appropriate tissues and generate full sequences in spite of the large number of small and large farms that have been affected. The number of full sequences has been extremely limited. The first full sequence in Europe was in Poland. That was followed by multiple sequences out of Sweden, four sequences from a farm and one sequence from a wild bird. And then most recently, a full sequence was generated for the first commercial outbreak, or the first outbreak, actually, in England. It was at a turkey farm. And all three of those source countries generated sequences that essentially had the same constellation. Although the Qinghai sequences and the Tiva Lake in Russia sequences had the same constellation, those that are most common, or at least most frequently reported in Europe, have three of the genes replaced by wild bird sequences for PB2, PA, and NP. The NP is actually the most dramatic because of the full sequences, in addition to these ones reported in Poland, Sweden, and England, there have been two full sets that came out of India. And one set is almost full. They don't have the PB1, but they've got the other seven genes from Croatia. And it turned out that each of those other three isolates are different from each other and are different from England. And in fact, you can see the difference by looking at one of the gene segments, the NP gene. If you look at the NP gene, remarkably, each of these different constellations has a different NP gene. So the sequences that were out of Europe that matched each other all have, you know, closely related NP genes. But the other three, the two from India and the one from Croatia, each have a NP gene that's different from the others in Europe and different from each other. So simply looking at the NP gene would indicate that there are four different reassortments. And then looking at the other genes actually confirms that they're different, and they in fact have different constellations. As an interesting aside, even though each of these NP genes are easily distinguished from each other and were acquired by a reassortment, they actually are most closely related, at least three of them, are most closely related to a to an H5N2 mallard from the country of Georgia. And again, they're different enough from each other, as well as the Georgia mallard, to indicate that they didn't just recently evolve. They actually were acquired by reassortment. But they all kind of link back to this one isolate from Georgia. That's the sequence that's most closely related in the existing database. And then the fourth one, the one from a painted stork in India, actually is most closely related to pigeons, H9N2 pigeons from Egypt. What's interesting about this NP gene is that all of the closely related sequences, in addition to the ones that are most closely related, are all European sequences. And so they change from Sinai Lake and Ouse Lake, which is the large lake that's in Kiva and Mongolia, where this outbreak was, that followed the Qinghai outbreak. They all differ and differ from each other, but the closely related sequences are all from Europe. So it suggests that they picked up this gene after Tiva and Qinghai, but since those differences are also seen in those in India, it doesn't seem that they were picked up in Europe. They were actually picked up earlier, but they all had a preference for an NPG that had this European lineage. The other differences that are there is one of the sequences from India that's from a duck. The only gene segment that differs from the consensus from the two earlier outbreaks at Qinghai and Ouse Lake is the NP gene. The other seven gene segments actually match the wild type or the progenitor sequence. But then the Croatia sequence, the PB1 isn't known because that one hasn't been sequenced yet, but it has one other change. In that case, it's in the PB2 gene. The other sequence from India, from the painted stork, has one additional one, which is in the PA. So those two both have two genes that have changed, but they're not the same two. One's NP and PB2, the other's NP and PA. And then the sequences that are most common in Europe really have three changes. They not only have the NP and the PA, but they also have PB2. So that's a lot of reassortment considering there's only one Croatian sequence, there's only two India sequences, And all three of those are different from each other and different from the more common European sequence. So in addition to that level of reassortment in a rather small number of samples, as Ryan had mentioned, there are two isolates with a new serotype. The new serotype is H5N5, indicating that obviously the N has changed to N5. And one was in the Netherlands, one's in Montenegro. It's not really clear that these two H5N5s are really going to match each other, because one's kind of the northern version, which is what's in common with the sequences from Poland, England, and Sweden. They're all northern areas of Europe. Versus Croatia, which is in the southern region, it actually would not be that far from Montenegro. In addition to the Montenegro sequence, there have been recent reports on outbreaks in Bulgaria, and so far the reports from Bulgaria has been H5, so it's not clear if some of these isolates from Bulgaria, in fact, are also H5N5. And the same is true from the most recent isolate from Russia. It's also just been designated H5. The N has not been determined or disclosed yet. And raising the possibility there may be multiple countries with H5N5. And based upon what happened in Taiwan and North America, it's likely that the H5N5 will not only have a different N, but will have several internal genes were also acquired by a reassortment. So the full extent of the reassortment in the current outbreak is somewhat dependent upon some of these countries releasing full sequences. It's not clear what the delay is, because as I said, most of these countries that are fully capable of generating full sequences within a day or two of collecting the samples have multiple locations that have farms, large or small, and they would have plenty of samples to see birds to choose from to generate full sequences, and it seems very likely they have generated full sequences, but they have not released that information. So hopefully that will be coming out in the not-too-distant future. This reassortment is, the H5N5 is the first example of reassortment appearing for the first time in Europe. The prior outbreaks, whether it's H5N1, well, it's mostly been H5N1, did not generate any reassortments in Europe. And the prior outbreak of H5N8 didn't generate any reassortment or changes in serotypes. So the isolates in the Netherlands and Montenegro marked the first time that an H5N8 in Europe ended up being associated, at least in time. But based upon the description, based upon actually sharing the same H5 and probably other internal genes to generate a new serotype, and it's really highlighting just how active reassortment is in the Fujian strain. That reassortment is also apparently happening with H5N6. There have been limited sequences that have been released, but showing reassortment with the H5N6, just as a reminder, the H5N6, in fact, also is Fujian, it's also clade 2.3.4.4, and the H5N6, H5 is really a lot closer to the H5N8 that's currently spreading at a dramatic rate. So that kind of wraps things up for the H5N8. The number of countries continues to go up almost on a daily basis. Just for comparison, in 2005, in the fall, only four countries actually reported outbreaks. Started in Romania, and then it was followed by Ukraine, Turkey, and I think it was Croatia. It was another Eastern European country. And that was it. There was an explosion in cases the following year in the spring of 2006. It actually began in the winter of 2006, the beginning of the year. And that increased the number of countries reporting H5N1 for the first time to something between 40 and 50 countries by the end of 2006. So there were quite a few more reports in the spring than in the fall. This year there's already been quite a bit. I have the count in front of me. It's probably been between 15 and 20 countries now have reported H5N8. And it spans the globe, not North or South America, but includes South Asia as well as throughout Europe, the Middle East, and multiple countries in Africa, and going all the way to the Ivory Coast. So the expectation is the number of countries reporting H5N8 will continue to increase. It may slow down a little bit for the winter, but an explosion of activity is anticipated for the spring as these birds start heading back north to nest. And the number of reassortment constellations is expected to also increase fairly dramatically, as soon as these countries, which are holding the sequences, actually make them public. And the same is true, just as an aside with H5N6, that the outbreak in South Korea is said to be the largest recorded to date. And again, there's limited sequences, but from the limited sequences, it sounds like the level of reassortment with H5N6 will also be very high. There's also recent reports of H5N8 in Taiwan. There was a break. They reported through July, and then there weren't any cases until the end of last month. And so it's not clear if the H5N8 in Taiwan represents the original 2014/2015 outbreak, or whether that represents a new outbreak of the H5N8, and whether that H5N8 is identical, same lineage as in Europe, or whether it's a slightly different one, and it remains to be seen. And that would also apply to Korea and Japan. So exactly how widespread the H5N8 is in Eastern Asia, where there's H5N6, is still an open question. H5N8 sequences anyway have not been released from those areas yet. And so we anticipate getting those in the not-too-distant future to see exactly how widespread the H5N8. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. We'll give more details on H5N6, and next week there should be more information on the H7N2 outbreak in the cats and the one human. And there also should be more information on exactly what's going on with Zika. It's anticipated more local transmission will be reported for Brownsville after they get results from the surveillance of the latest case. And so that's about it for this week. Have happy holidays over the next few days, as well as New Year's if we don't do one before that. In all likelihood, we probably will do another podcast next week to cover some of this breaking news.
Yeah, we'll probably be having to do another one next week, like I said, as Dr. Nyman mentioned, and as I said, We're expecting some press releases from the state of New York for next week, so we'll see how that goes and see if the outbreak expands and if there's any more humans involved. So that'll be really interesting to watch, especially as it's right here in this country. Okay, well, that wraps it up for today. So thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast here. And always visit our website at economonomics.co. There's lots of maps up. Like I said, they've got an H5N5 map, an H5N8 map, an H5N6 map, and an H7N2 map now. So I'll make sure I get all those up. So thank you, everyone, and have a good day and a very, very nice holiday.